Leaders are all around us, at all times, and in every area of our lives. They motivate. They risk the first step. But what motivates a leader? In our Central Texas Leadership Series, KWBU has invited local leaders to talk with people they know who guide and inspire to find out what makes them tick. In this episode, Greater Waco Chamber of Commerce President Matt Metters. Hosting the conversation is Jim Haller, Executive Vice President for Marketing for First National Bank of Central Texas. This conversation took place at the KWBU studios on October 15, 2013.
Welcome to KWBU's Central Texas Leadership Series. I'm Jim Haller, talking today with Matt Metters, President and CEO of the Greater Waco Chamber of Commerce. Matt, great to have you here, and we're going to get right to business.
Good, Jim.
Tell us
nice
a little bit about your background, where you grew up, where you were born, schools, and all that
good
stuff.
Sure. Well, I was born in Indianapolis, Indiana, but wasn't in Indianapolis very long before my family moved north to Kokomo, Indiana. My father, who served in the United States Marine Corps and fought in World War II, was with Chrysler Corporation for his entire career. And the family moved to Kokomo when my father was asked to be a part of the team that opened the transmission facility, Kokomo Transmission Facility. So I had a great childhood, Jim. Was fortunate enough for my mother to stay at home. And, you know, it was a little bit of, you know, kind of that father knows best kind of upbringing. My father worked. My mother was at home. Two brothers and a sister, and, you know, just grew up in an environment where we spent a lot of time outside playing, having fun, and spending time with friends. Grew up in Kokomo, went to Taylor High School, which is one of the county schools. There were four county schools and two city schools. So I grew up and went to Taylor High School, and from Taylor High School, went to Indiana University, and that's where I attended college at.
Well, you mentioned Indiana University. You have to be happy in Waco. You've got to be a big basketball fan, and with the Baylor Bears and Lady Bears, it's got to be fun for you.
Yeah, it's exciting season ahead for the Bears.
Matt, you finished college at the University of Indiana. Then what happened? Did you get married? Tell us about your life from then on before you went into chamber work.
Sure. Well, when I finished college, right after I finished college, Kim and I, my wife and I, had already met, and it was, just a couple years out of college when she and I got married, and shortly after that, we started a family. When I graduated from college, I studied at the School of Public and Environmental Affairs at Indiana University, and I was very interested in going to work for either the federal government or state government at the time. But interestingly enough, on IU's campus, that School of Public and Environmental Affairs, there was a new facility that was built right next to the School of Business. And so our education through the School of Public and Environmental Affairs was very close to a business education. So, again, I was interested in going to work for state or federal government. When I graduated, it was a pretty tough time in terms of units of government hiring. And so I saw an opening, an opportunity at the Kokomo-Howard County Chamber of Commerce. And it had a heavy public policy component to it, and I was curious about that. And I guess, the rest is history. I got that position. I fell in love with the profession. It was multifaceted. It gave me an opportunity to spend some time in, the public policy arena, but it also gave me an opportunity to become an economic development professional, a community development professional. And so that sort of launched my career. And then, as I said, Kim and I got married a few years after I graduated from college, and we're fortunate enough to have two grown adult daughters who are both college graduates and in the middle of their own careers right now. So it's been a great run.
Well, that had to be rewarding for you to be able to go back to your hometown, work for the local Chamber of Commerce. How long did you stay there, and then what were your steps that brought you to Waco?
Well, I was at the Kokomo-Howard County Chamber of Commerce for 3 years, and I was recruited by the Traverse City, Michigan Chamber of Commerce to come up and become part of their team. And the Traverse City, Michigan Chamber of Commerce is kind of a unique animal because while it's a smaller community and it's a resort community, the Chamber of Commerce there is the second largest chamber in the state of Michigan, second only to Detroit. It has 3,200 members. It's a big chamber. And so it was a great career opportunity for me, and we made the move. And we spent 13 years in northern Michigan, and I spent 13 years with that Chamber of Commerce. When I left, I was senior vice president. I was the number two person on the staff. And we had done some what I think is a nice body of work. I was contacted by a recruiter while I was there, and very frankly, I wasn't looking. This recruiter kind of laid out a nice opportunity for me, and it was time for me to lead. And it was an opportunity for me to become a president and CEO of an organization. And so I made that move, and we moved back to Indiana, to Evansville, Indiana, and I was the president and CEO of what was then the Metropolitan Evansville Chamber of Commerce. And after a few years in that position, through creation of some alliances and so forth, we significantly expanded the footprint of that organization, and it became the Chamber of Commerce of Southwest Indiana. And so I was there for 11 years, and the same thing happened to me while I was in Evansville. Spending time building a really strong and viable organization, and I got a call from a recruiter about the opportunity here in Waco. And, you know, if you're in this industry, if you do what I do for a living, when there's an opportunity to look at a really strong organization in Texas, you probably should do that. You probably should take a look because Texas has the strongest state economy in the union. And those of us who are professional economic developers and community developers, we're all aware of that nationally. And frankly, a little bit envious because Texas has, they've got the sort of the right mix going right now. And it's a state that's doing a great job from a community and economic development standpoint. So that opportunity came along. I took a look at it. Loved what I saw, Jim. I loved what was going on in Texas. I loved what was going on up and down the I-35 corridor. I took a look at Waco, and, you know, I realized that Waco was on the brink of some pretty darn exciting times. Physical location on the I-35 corridor is second to none, frankly, between Austin and Dallas. But what I really, really liked about the opportunity is the fact that the people here were very warm, and they were very united in terms of their vision, and they really wanted to get things done, and I wanted to be a part of that, and so did Kim.
Well, Matt, you had spent, as you've mentioned, your entire youth, your college years, your professional years, all in the North, Michigan, Indiana. Now, all of a sudden, you're in the great Southwest, you're in Texas, you're in Waco. You mentioned that the people were nice. You mentioned the I-35 corridor. But what really, when you interviewed with the selection committee, convinced you that Waco was the right place for Matt Metters?
Well, a number of things. I would have to go back and say people are very important to me and community is very important to me. If you look at my career, you'll see essentially that I spent 13 years in Traverse City and I spent 11 years in Evansville. And Kim and I want to have a home and we want to have friends. And the career isn't so important that I'm willing to jump every 3 or 4 or 5 years just because there's a better opportunity, if you will, out there. And so a real important litmus test for us was, is this a community that we could feel good about being a part of? Could this be our home? And are these people who are going to be people who are going to welcome us and, sort of open their arms and let us become part of the community, become friends? Really sort of see us as one of them. And that was the single most important part of this whole investigation that took place in terms of us making that decision. And everything I saw in terms of Waco, in terms of the community and its livability, its assets, in terms of strategically where this community is going and its potential, and the people who we had a chance to get to meet was very positive. And Jim, I will tell you, we've been here a little over a year now, and we could not be more pleased. The things that we were looking at and talking about during the interview process are underway. You know, they're coming up out of the ground. We have a new stadium. We have new statement bridges. I mean, all of that coupled with Baylor is going to make for a phenomenally attractive gateway on I-35 as you're heading south and coming into Waco. So, you know, we've seen those investments and that vision being realized and frankly expanded upon. And in addition to that, the people in this community have been so kind to me and Kim and so warm and so welcoming. You know, we sit back and we look at each other and we say, man, it couldn't have gotten any better. I mean, it's just been it's played out very, very well.
Well, I love your enthusiasm. I love the spirit you've developed already for Waco. And, of course, I love it. Been here a long time. But I know you bring a new philosophy to this position at the Waco Chamber of Commerce in regard to regionalization. Your Chamber of Commerce in Indiana was known as a regional chamber. Tell us a little bit about your philosophy and why that is so important to the greater Waco Chamber of Commerce.
Sure. You know, it's pretty basic. I am of the opinion, and others around the country who have moved towards creating regional collaboratives or regional strategic partnerships are of the opinion that more minds are better than fewer minds, and that having more people around the table who are working in a collaborative manner and pulling in the same direction typically leads to, you know, you being able to realize strategically what you're trying to accomplish and realize your desired outcomes. So, you know, when I came here, I inherited a wonderful Chamber of Commerce. This is a chamber that is well-funded, has a very aggressive and impressive program of work, and has an outstanding professional team. But there were a few areas strategically that I thought we had to look at and strategically we had to go. And one that you just mentioned brought up is in regional collaboration. And so we have set out to start having some conversations with our friends in our backyard and our extended backyard. And in the past year, we've started to lay the foundation to be stronger in terms of public policy. So we have done a little bit of restructuring internally at the in the organization to be able to be more active in terms of matters of public policy and to build a stronger infrastructure wrapped around that. And at the same time, we're having these conversations with our friends here in McLennan County and then within, you know, a couple county area. Here's a case in point. We're in the middle of conversations right now with the Chambers of Commerce in McLennan County, and we're having conversations about creating what we are creatively describing as a McLennan County Chamber Alliance, and obviously we'll come up with a little bit more creative name for this thing. But we want to bring these chambers together through a memorandum of understanding that'll create an environment where we're all sitting around the table together. We know each other. We understand what issues and challenges and opportunities everyone's looking at. And we're working in a collaborative manner. And many of those opportunities typically manifest themselves wrapped around matters of public policy. So we're improving our infrastructure in our organization. We're building this alliance. And we're going to see how we can be together more influential, more impactful in terms of public policy, with the focus being primarily on Austin. But we also want to turn our attention to Washington, D.C. and become a little bit more involved at the federal level. And at the same time, Jim, we're also looking at a little bit more of an expanded collaborative where Temple and Killeen and Belton and Harker Heights and the Greater Waco Chamber of Commerce have come back together, and we have reestablished what's called the Central Texas Chapter of the Texas Association of Business, TAB, which is the State Chamber of Commerce. And now we are all working in a collaborative manner, again, in a little larger footprint, talking about areas of common interest and how we can help, you know, sort of move the ball down the court. A great case in, or a great example of that would be what's in front of us right now with water and the challenges we have as a state.
For those of you who are just joining us, this is KWBU's Central Texas Leadership Series. I'm Jim Haller, talking today with Matt Metters, President and CEO of the Greater Waco Chamber of Commerce. Matt, you mentioned the collaboration that is taking place not only with the other chambers in McLennan County, but in Bell County. You mentioned Temple, Killeen, Harker Heights, Belton. What, besides water, would be some other areas that we could work together to make all communities better?
Sure. Well, you know, we've had a few meetings, and frankly, it's pretty exciting. We're dialing in a couple of key areas or strategic areas. One is, and this is a little bit broad, but it's economic development. Another is education, excuse me, education and workforce development. And we think there's a lot of opportunities for us to look within our respective communities at best practices and who is doing what and how we might learn from each other and, frankly, how we might be able to, you know, perhaps jointly attract more dollars into the region for workforce development as an example. So the education workforce development component is really important to us. Another area that we're looking at is in this whole area of transportation infrastructure, and that's roads and high-speed rail and rail and airports. So we're looking at, you know, where there are opportunities for us to collaborate there. And again, Jim, much of this is really going to manifest itself to where once we have these areas of strategic focus where we're going to work together, then you know we'll be turning our attention to Austin, working with our elected officials and trying to, you know, have some positive impacts in terms of legislation that's being considered or making its way through the system in Austin.
I know you're a strong advocate of networking, whether it's on the local, regional, or national level. And I know you recently attended the U.S. Chamber of Commerce meeting in Washington, D.C. Can you bring us some ideas that you found at that gathering or how that would impact your thinking?
Sure. Well, the meeting that you're referring to, we have an opportunity. I have an opportunity to attend a couple of briefings each year with the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, and there are a number of Chamber of Commerce professionals who come together. And at one of those meetings each year, we also come together with the U.S. Chamber's Board of Directors. So, you know, it's a opportunity for a great discussion and to learn more about what a lot of the nation's key business leaders are looking at and are concerned about and so forth. When I left that meeting, I would say that strategically the top priority with the U.S. Chamber of Commerce right now, they're looking at entitlements and entitlement reform. And they were able to show the economic picture in terms of how the cost of entitlements is unfolding right now and where it's headed in the framework of our budget, and in particular, the impact that the cost of entitlements is going to have in terms of discretionary spending in the United States. And the long and the short of it is, if left unchecked, we're moving into an environment where entitlement spending is going to become so costly that we're going to continue to see a diminished amount of discretionary dollars available in the federal budget, and that impacts things like defense budget. So that really has moved to the top of the U.S. Chamber's list of priorities. Strong feeling that we need to come together. Congress needs to come together and figure out a solution so that, you know, the entitlement spending is reined in a little bit. There are other things that we talked about. Certainly the Affordable Care Act, or as everybody refers to it as Obamacare. The U.S. Chamber's of the opinion, and they've taken the position that it's the law of the land, and what we need to do is we need to improve the Affordable Care Act. Clearly, they have some concerns, and the primary concern wraps around, you know, the ability for the country to be able to afford what's a pretty major investment to provide health care to most of its citizens. So, you know, that conversation took place, and it's frankly been on the U.S. Chamber's plate for a while. And so there's also, you know, any given number of other policy matters that the Chamber's looking at. They have some of the nation's foremost policy experts, and we really do get an opportunity to enjoy some very high-level and insightful briefings on those matters.
A couple of times you've already mentioned economic development, Matt. What right now would you say are the greatest opportunities for our community in bringing new industry to Greater Waco? For many years, it's been talked about that aeronautical companies were of great importance. What could you give us as an insight there?
Well, you know, we happen to have great assets here, and anytime that we have a conversation with companies that are looking at Waco as a possibility to invest, the things that we share with them are our educational facilities. I mean, we're sitting here with MCC and TSTC and Baylor, and those are phenomenal institutions in terms of being able to meet the workforce needs of these companies. And Jim, I will tell you that the issue of workforce, availability of, and level of talent in workforce is probably the top issue that many of the companies are looking at. So we're fortunate in that we have a great infrastructure to be able to meet the needs of these companies. They can come in, they may look at our labor market, and they may say, you don't have enough of individuals with a particular level of training, but you know, we can outreach to our partners, and we can remedy that or move towards remedy that in pretty short order. I love the fact that we have the Baylor Research and Innovation Collaborative in our community, and the opportunity to wrap you know, expanded services around that and the transformation it can have in our economy. So, you know, we talk a lot about the educational capabilities and assets. Clearly, we talk a lot about what we have in terms of available land. We happen to have very nice industrial parks, and we have the availability of property. So that's really not an issue in terms of attracting investment. and all the other pieces are really there. You know, we just talked about water a few minutes ago, and Waco's blessed. The city was forward-looking when it put the infrastructure in to increase the quality of our water and to retain our water rights. And so having access to water is huge from a manufacturer's perspective. We have access to those types of assets, so we're well-suited. In addition, again, our physical location on I-35 and access to market and the growth projections of Texas, and then that further underscores the importance of access to market with our physical location, again, plays well for Waco. So we're in a great position.
For those of you who are just joining us, this is KWBU's Central Texas Leadership Series. I'm Jim Haller talking today with Matt Metters, President and CEO of the Greater Waco Chamber of Commerce. Matt, let's get away from the professionalism of the job and work. Tell me a little bit about what Matt Metters likes to do to relax. When you're away from the office, what are your favorite things to do?
Sure. Well, you know, there's sort of day in and day out. Frankly, Jim, you know, this position, there's a lot of activity, a lot of evening activity and a lot of weekend activity, and we enjoy that. Kim and I really enjoy that. That's an opportunity to spend time with people who, you know, we work with, but then it's less formal time together. So we get to go out and just kind of have fun and attend community events and get to know the community better and support community events and be with friends. Family's a big deal for us. It's important to me and Kim. And, you know, when we made the move here, we have two adult daughters, and I mentioned that earlier in the interview. Both are back in Indiana. They decided to stay in Evansville. And so, you know, whenever we can, we travel to see them, and they come see us. And, you know, we also plan a vacation at least once a year since we've made this move. And so being able to spend as much time with family as we can is also important. You know, I'm pretty laid back. I like to read. I like to watch a good football game or basketball game on TV, you know, tinker around the house. It's a pretty common lifestyle, I think.
I thought you would elaborate more, being a Hoosier and an Indiana graduate, about basketball, but we'll do that at another time.
We can.
What would you say is your management and leadership style? What would characterize Matt Metters as a leader?
Well, I'm a firm believer in hiring the absolute best people that you can. And I think you have to figure out how you can compensate them well and you give them the tools that they need in order to do their job effectively. You have a responsibility as a leader to lead by example, and you have a responsibility as a leader to help educate and train your people as best as you can. So once you make it past sort of those observations or those beliefs, then my approach with my people is I hire you first and foremost because of your ability to think, and I expect you to think, and I encourage you to think. My door's always open. If you need me, you come see me. Never a problem. I'll stop. I'll put my pencil down. You have my undivided attention. But I really want people to feel empowered. I want them to think creatively. I want them to understand opportunities and capitalize on those opportunities. I want them to understand ways that we can better serve those who we're here to serve. And, you know, it's interesting. Here's an example, Jim. We all went to Chattanooga not too long ago, and we were very impressed with the community of Chattanooga and what those folks have done through recent years to really take their community and make it a world-class community. And when you spend some time and you listen to the stories, one of the stories that comes to mind is what they did there in order to attract the Volkswagen plant. And it really was a very creative and bold approach by the leaders there to lay the foundation to get Volkswagen to ultimately come into their community. And that's kind of a battle cry for us in our office right now, particularly as it relates to economic development. When we're looking at when a company's looking at us and looking at possibly investing in our community, the question that I often put on the table when we're looking at, you know, what do we have? We have incentives, we have land, the things that we're putting together as a package. What's the Chattanooga advantage? How can we Chattanooga this deal? What's creative in terms of, you know, would surprise them and out of the box? And how can we make something happen or add value to a package we're putting together that might be unexpected and might make these folks set back and go, ah, that's pretty cool. These folks are thinkers, and they've gotten pretty creative. So, you know, I love people. I love high-performing people. And when you get high-performing people in, I mean, you just got to sort of let them go and let them go out and make good things happen.
Well, you mentioned Chattanooga, Tennessee, and I know a lot of their great development has been on the river. Are you, in the year you've been here, pleased with the development along our river and in downtown Waco?
Oh, yeah. Again, you know, that goes one short year, a little bit more than a year, when those conversations were taking place and I was going through the interview process and the investigation of the community and all those things. I think we're on the brink of something really special here, Jim. I think when you look at the plan, at the project that's before us right now that this development team has put in front of the city for consideration for a pretty significant investment along our riverfront, and you couple it with everything else that's you know, sort of on the table in front of us, the new stadium, Baylor, the brick, the new statement bridges, the investments that are coming and have come up out of the ground in our community over the past year. And you sort of connect all of that with all the other pieces that we've talked about in this interview, with the unified vision, with this sense of can do, with you know, sort of everybody pulling in the same direction. I think we're on the cusp of something very special happening here in Waco. I think this community is going to transform, and I think it's going to have a very dynamic and attractive downtown. I think our quality of life is going to take another step forward. Our I-35 corridor is becoming that much more attractive to visitors and people who are going up and down the corridor. We're just, you know, Waco is on the brink of something very special right now. So, long answer, but I think our riverfront's going to transform, and I think it's going to pull a lot of good things with it.
You've been here 1 year. What are you determined to make happen within the next year?
I am determined to see this investment that's being discussed and considered right now. I'm excited at the prospect of that investment on our riverfront because it's transformative in nature. I am excited about where we're headed in terms of strengthening our capability and our position in terms of public policy. We are going to finalize this Chamber Alliance in McLennan County. We're going to build upon this alliance that we're creating that's more broad that we talked about through the Texas Association of Business, and we're going to realize some pretty exciting things in terms of public policy and regional collaboration over the next year.
Well, Matt, thank you so much for taking the time to join us here today on the Central Texas Leadership Series for KWBU, and we'll look forward to having you back to talk about all the great developments over the next couple of years. Thank you, Matt Metters.
Thank you, Jim.
This conversation took place on October 15th, 2013, in the KWBU studios in Waco. To find a copy of this episode of the Central Texas Leadership Series and others, head over to our website, kwbu.org.